Welcome to the Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. It was Jesus Christ who said, if anyone would come after me, he must first deny himself, then take up his cross and follow me. If there ever was a time that we need to have people committed to following Christ, it is now. The world is in turmoil. Every time you look at the news, there's troubling reports about murders, viruses, and calamities in our city and around the world. The only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. As you listen to these messages, I want you to consider your commitment to follow Him and your commitment to share your faith with others so they can come to know Him as well. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Here's what they did. Number one, they came to Moses and they confessed their sin. Look at what they said. They called it what it was. They didn't say, Moses, listen, we were just a little bit anxious and so we spoke out of turn. They didn't say that. They confessed their sin. They called it what it was. We sinned against God. And we sinned against the pastor. Isn't that what they said? They didn't leave him out. And against you. You're the one that God put in charge. You're God's spokesperson. We sinned against God and we sinned against you because we said you brought us out here. We know God was leading you. We said we didn't like what you were doing. We said that we don't like the food. We don't like none of this. But when the snakes start biting and the people start dying, it didn't take them long to make the connection. Because where did these snakes come from? You can ask that question. Where did these snakes come from? Not only did he send snakes, he sent venomous snakes that once you were bitten, you were poisoned. Please call on the Lord and ask him to take away the snake. So Moses now is their intercessor who is asking God for some grace and some mercy upon these people. Look at verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. I thought about that and wondered to myself, why would he put a snake on a pole when the snakes are the one that's doing the biting? Because of God's judgment upon the sin of the people, God is saying when Moses lifted up that brass serpent on a pole, all they had to do for their healing was to look at it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, Jesus was trying to get this message over to Nicodemus. So Christ is going to be lifted up. And all you're going to have to do is look at him. That serpent that the people looked at represented the sins of the people. That's what's affecting you. I want you to look at it. It's on a pole. The Bible said that Christ was made sin for us. And he hung on the cross as he bore our sins. Jesus is pointing out here in John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Nicodemus, are you getting this? The story in Numbers was familiar to Nicodemus. He knew that story. It is a story of sin, for the nation rebelled against God and he had to be punished. God sent these fiery, venomous snakes that bit the people and many of them began to die and then they had to try to recover. It is a story of grace. Moses then interceded for the people, and God provided the remedy. It's the story of grace. These folks don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it for them anyway. And any person, you know what he said? Look at that. He said, whoever is bitten, all they have to do is look, any one of them. He didn't select any particular ones. Anyone who has been bitten, all they have to do is look. That's grace for everyone that's affected. It is also a story of faith. When the people looked by faith, they were saved. Think about it. By the time you're bitten with these snakes, you're scared of snakes. And now he's asking you to look at one. I know somebody say, I ain't looking at no snake. I don't want to see no snake. I'm afraid of snakes. Why he put that up for me to look at? I don't want to look at no snake. And they didn't get healed. So they didn't have the faith to believe that what Moses said, it was going to occur. He said, just look at it. You'll be healed. And some people, it has to be some, well, out of all the people that got bitten, now the Bible doesn't say it, but I'm sure there's somebody who said, I ain't finna look at no snake. They were still arrogant. They were still upset. They were still following their own mindset. Just like right now, you can tell people all you've got to do is look to Jesus Christ for your salvation. They say, he ain't nothing but a man. He's just another man. He's just another man. He was a good person. But I don't believe that. So they won't look to him for salvation. So this is a story of faith. As that serpent was lifting up, Jesus is going to be lifted up. Why was he lifted up? To save us from sin and death. The venom of the serpent was flowing through the veins of the rebellious people and was spreading death through the camp. You can just look at people laying around. You know, he's been bitten. That one's been bitten. That one's been bitten. But the solution to the serpent problem was not killing the snake. They didn't say, okay, everybody, we're going to go out and everybody get you a club. We're going to go snake hunting. It was not in making a cure for it or getting some medicine. You know how they used to do in the hood, man, back in the day, just get some coal oil and pour it on there. Put some dirt on there. How many of you got cut? They just told you to put some dirt on it. That was a long time ago. We don't do that no more. We did all kind of stuff. We should have just been in the hospital all the time, but we didn't do that. We were talking yesterday. We sit in the house, we get through eating, and Father say, hand me that broom over there. You get that broom, make him a toothpick out. Get him a straw and get him a toothpick. How many remember that? They said, well, it was from the top of the broom. It wasn't from the bottom. Yeah. We weren't going to go buy no toothpicks. Got a broom. I'm not the only one from Fifth Ward. But the remedy was not in some kind of medicinal response. The remedy was not passing an anti-serpent law. The remedy was divinely provided. Bitten by a snake, you're going to be healed. The cure is a serpent of brass that was placed up for them to look at a distance. At a distance, it appeared just like what was hurting you. So the answer was looking at that by faith. Jesus Christ then, when he's on the cross, he looks just like you and me who are sinners. But he was without sin. That snake that was of brass looked just like a snake, but it had no venom in it. It looked like what was hurting you, and Jesus looked like us who had sin nature because Adam sinned, and through his sin passed it on to every man and every woman that we have that nature to sin and to be separate from God. And Jesus Christ sent his own son and says, though man has been smitten and bitten by sin and it runs through his veins, my son is going to be on a pole that they can look at, and then they can be healed when they receive him as Lord and Savior. The whole world has been bitten by sin, because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Jesus said, just like sin bites us, those snakes were biting those people. This is a preview of what's to come when my son comes. I'm just showing you that we did that in the desert, and the folks just didn't get it. You didn't get it, Nicodemus. You want to know how this works? It works just like that. There's a curious story about that serpent that was on the pole. If you trace it in the Bible, you're going to find out that many years later, they start worshiping the serpent. And if we're not careful, we're going to worship a cross, but not Christ. You know, people will run to out in the country to look at something that looked like Jesus on a tree, but they won't run to see Jesus. We'll worship this religious experience. We'll worship going to church. We'll worship going through the motion, but we won't worship Jesus. So you want to be careful that it's not a good snake that went bad. When we look at the point of our salvation, they begin to go into idolatry because they're looking now at God who provided the healing, but the snake that was on the tree. What do you think it would be like if the cross that Jesus died on was still in existence and they had it in a museum? Everybody would just want to go touch that, but they don't want to touch Jesus. How is a person born from above? How is he saved from eternal perishing? By believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus Christ. Pointing people to Jesus Christ by looking to him in faith. So while the whole human family were perishing of the wounds of sin that's inflicted by the old serpent Satan, Jesus, the second Adam, rose up over humanity with healing in his wings. He was without spot or wrinkle or stain or sin. And he willingly went to the cross to offer himself as a sacrifice for our redemption and for our salvation so that we can be saved. He did that for us. That's why he came. And in both remedies, in the Old Testament with the snake and in the New Testament with Jesus Christ, the remedy is openly displayed. It were both put up on a pole and lifted high so people can see them openly. It wasn't anywhere in secret. It was open. In one case on a pole, you had the snake. The other one, you on a pole, you had Jesus Christ. Everyone who looked at the snake who was bitten was healed. Everyone who looks to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior will be saved. Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. I'm not going to go there today, but once Jesus finished with this story, you know what the next verse says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever will receive him would not perish. He's still talking about that incident with Nicodemus. It rolls all together. Whoever would look upon me, just like whoever would look at that snake, you don't have to perish. You don't have to perish. The remedy is right in front of you. In both cases, it was by directing the eye of faith to look at the cure. Look at this cure. Just look at it. No matter how far you are from that snake, he could have set it up a long way off. And some people are close and some people are far. But if you just look at it, you're still going to be healed no matter how far away you are. Some people think they're too far away from Christ for him to do anything in their life. Your life is too messed up. You've done too much. You have too many issues and too many things going on. But no, just look at him. It doesn't matter how far away you are. He still saves you no matter where you are. Looking at the snake was with the physical eye, you got your healing. Looking at Jesus Christ with the spiritual eye, you can get your healing. Just believe on him. Now, both methods goes against human reasoning. Oh, am I just supposed to look at that snake? What that's supposed to do? That goes against our human reasoning. That's why it was the power of God that intervened by his gracious hand that said, just look at him. I'll do the healing. The snake ain't doing the healing. I'm going to do the healing. Some people say, you think I can just, what does it mean? Just look at Jesus. You think he can change my life? Yes, it may go against human reasoning, but it's a spiritual application that happens when we believe by faith. You cannot really scientifically explain what happened. When you say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, and he comes into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit and break the power of sin in your life, you're no longer a slave to sin, and you just know that you've been born again. You know, you feel, you have that feeling on the inside of you. You know something's been changed. Somebody was saying, oh, I know I've been changed. I can't tell you exactly how it happened and what transpired step by step, but I do know this. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed by his power divine. The songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was sinking never to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my disparaging cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. I know that something's happened in my life, and if you know that you were under darkness and you walked in darkness and the power of sin was controlling your life, you know when Jesus Christ have come in and changed you and the light of his power and his glory came in and changed your life. You know that. You don't know how it happened. You don't know how that got turned on, but you know it's on. I am no longer what I used to be. And when that light comes on, folks around you know you're no longer what you used to be. You used to cuss like a sailor. Now you don't cuss like a sailor no more. Not like a sailor. And after a while, you won't be cussing at all. What I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. I'm a new creation. Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. He ain't the same person. You're not the same person. That person bitten by that snake is but just a fraction away from the end of their life, laying on the floor. As soon as they look, they're healed, they're able to get up. They're not the same person who were laying there just a few minutes ago. You were almost dead, and now you're up walking around. Why? I got new life. The same thing when you give your life to Christ Jesus. You were almost destroyed. That's why Jesus said, I came so you don't have to perish, but you can have a brand new life. Nicodemus said, well, how does that happen? He said, you just need to look and live. To the Jews and to the Greeks of Jesus' day, it was foolishness instead of faith in the crucified man. How can he deliver? But as the serpent was God's cure for every bitten Israelite, Christ is the cure for those who are without salvation. One simple look at the serpent, however distant, however weak you were, I can't even raise up. Just get on up. I'm going to help you get up. Just take a look. Some people needed help to get up, I'm sure, to take a look. Where is it at? It's over there. Well, let me help you up. Now, sometimes we got to help people find Christ. They don't know where to look. Moses said, just look. Just all you got to do, just look. Where I got to go? You ain't got to go nowhere. You can see it from here. Just look. Open your eyes. No matter how distant, no matter how weak you are, just take a look. You can live. The difference between perishing and living and the difference between condemnation and salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. This is just basic Christianity. Jesus could well have come into the world as a judge and destroyed every rebellious sinner, but he came in love. He came to the world as a savior. And he died on the cross for us. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. It takes faith to believe in Jesus Christ. If you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that he is Lord, you will be saved. He says, just that, that's it. And somebody might come up to you now and say, do you mean to tell me that you believe that somebody was raised from the dead? You believe that? Are you crazy? You have to believe that to have that salvation. Yes, I believe that. Well, you can live. The serpent in Moses' day brought physical life to dying Jews, but Jesus Christ gives eternal life to anyone who trusts in him. He's brought salvation to the whole world. There are some people who are here right now who are like Nicodemus. You've been religious. You've been going to church. You enjoy church. You enjoy reading the Bible. But you're here right now and you've never really understood and grabbed a hold to what it really means to be born again. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus, there's a new kingdom. It's the kingdom of God where you function according to God's purposes and God's plan, and you get all of God's benefits into this kingdom. You get the blessings of God. You get the strength of God. You get the healing of God. You get the prosperity that the Lord wants you to have in your life. You can walk in victory and strength. And after that, you get a chance to go to heaven and live with him forevermore. Yes. It's not a club that you just join. You can't join it. You got to be born into it. It is a new life in Christ Jesus. There may be someone else in here who said, I've never heard that I need to be born again. I just heard I need to join church. But we're not talking about joining church. We're talking about getting into the kingdom of God where God is your Lord. Yes. Jesus is your Lord and he functions in your life and operates your life and he controls your life. What Jesus said, I want to point you back to this story, Nicodemus, so you have a good understanding of why you need to be born again and that process of being born again. That process of being born again is just having faith in what God has provided you. Oh, your life may be routine or may be good, but you don't have hope for the future. We had someone share Wednesday night. He said, a friend called him and said, do you know what's going to happen when you die? You know where you're going? Sounded like he was trying to figure out what his eternity was going to be like. Jesus came to say, I came so you can be sure what your eternity is going to be like. He said that you don't have to perish. You can have everlasting life. That's that eternal life that comes with being born of the Spirit of God. God wants his Spirit to come and take up residence on the inside of us and govern our lives. I don't know who you are or where you are, but if you've heard this message today, you say, Pastor, I need to look up and I need to live. I don't want to just go through the motions of being a Christian. I want that life. I want that abundant life flowing in my body and in my veins. When you're not born of the Spirit of God like he wants you to be, then church is just a routine. Your life is just a routine. You're doing the best you can just to hold on, the best you can just to come another day. I read my Bible, but I'm not as excited about it as I'd like to be. I know I need to read it because I need to know something. But know when the Spirit of God is alive in you, these words are alive in you. We are here for one purpose. That's to connect you with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. It matters whether you are connected by the Spirit of God. Here's what I want you to do wherever you are. If this message has resonated with you and you say, Pastor, I've been close, but I need to look up and live. You may say, Pastor, I've been off in a distance. But I need to look up and live. I'm going to be honest with myself today. I want that change. I want that newness of life. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. I want you to stand on your feet right now. We're going to pray for you. And if there's one person, we're going to pray for one. If there's two, we're going to pray for two. Whoever you are, I want that newness of life right where I am.
There's a big difference between being committed to church and being committed to Christ. This is Jerry G. Martin. There are many people who think they have it made by just going to church. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" These messages are to remind us of our commitment to come to him and to follow him and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. If you would like to hear today's message again in its entirety, you can go to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily, Jerry G. Martin. And you can listen to today's message or previous messages that you've heard on this station. I want to be sure that all of you who are listening have made a commitment to Christ Jesus. If you haven't done so, you can do so now. We have a member of our prayer team that is available to pray with you about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Visit us online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Watch our live stream services Sundays at 10 a.m., and of course, you can join us in person. We're at 16161 Old Humble Road, 10 o'clock each Sunday morning. If you have a need for Bibles, Sunday school books, offering supplies, communion supplies, or church supplies, call us at the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus at 281-441-2885. 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, May the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.